This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Reagan Mertz, here with your top stories this Friday. RH, the luxury home furnishings brand, now fully owns the former Crystal Palace building. The acquisition was part of several transactions between RH and local developer Mark Hunt. They jointly bought several properties together in 2021 to develop what they call the RH Aspen ecosystem. The Aspen ecosystem will include an RH guest house, gallery, and residences developed across town. Aspen Daily News reporter Lucy Peterson has more.
The company's most recent quarterly filings show that it received 100% ownership of the building that is being redeveloped into an RH guest house. RH chairman and CEO Gary Friedman told shareholders in an earnings call in June that the company acquired full ownership of 8 Aspen properties. As part of the transactions, Hunt acquired full ownership of the shared properties that remain undeveloped. One of the properties that Hunt acquired is the former Boomerang Lodge building. That was once slated to be a residential component of the Aspen ecosystem, but the future of the undeveloped building is now unclear. It's also unclear what other properties RH and Hunt now own separately. Friedman, with RH, told shareholders in a September 2025 earnings call that the company was also a landlord in Aspen for stores including Chanel, Gucci, Lululemon, and Catch Steak. Before the transactions earlier this year, RH held between 50% and 75% stake in the shared properties with Hunt. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Lucy Peterson.
Pekin County is hosting a town hall next week to discuss the upcoming airport closure. Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli reports that the event has already reached capacity and the county won't be taking questions from the audience.
The so-called Ready Together event will feature 3 short panel conversations. Speakers will cover plans for the runway reconstruction, alternate transportation options during the airport closure, and strategies for tourism marketing. The airport is scheduled to close from April to November next year, which could have far-reaching effects on the local economy. Community members are encouraged to submit questions in advance, but organizers say they won't be taking questions or comments from the live audience. You can add your name to the waitlist. Otherwise, the town hall will be recorded and streamed live on Grassroots TV. Speakers will include Aspen One, the Aspen Chamber Resort Association, and Snowmass Tourism. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Michael Finelli.
The town hall takes place at the Limelight Hotel in Aspen from 5:30 to 6:30 Tuesday evening. In regional news, southern Colorado shook earlier this week from 2 small earthquakes that struck northern New Mexico west of Interstate 25. The U.S. Geological Survey says the first quake hit around 3:21 a.m. on Monday. It was 4.2 in magnitude with an epicenter about 20 miles southwest of Segundo, Colorado. The second 4.0 magnitude quake struck less than 10 minutes later, only a few miles away. The sparsely populated area along the Colorado-New Mexico border has a history of seismic activity. A 5.3 quake in 2011 damaged dozens of structures. It's been a hot, dry summer across much of the Rocky Mountains, and a heat wave in the forecast could make things even hotter. In Glenwood Springs, the National Weather Service is predicting temperatures in the triple digits through next Wednesday. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanez has more on this heat dome.
Forecasters are currently predicting a high-pressure system that will hang over the Rocky Mountains for about 7 to 10 days, beginning this weekend and into next week. As a result, high temperatures could be 10 to 15 degrees above normal and may break records. Daniel Swain, a weather and climate scientist with the University of California and the National Science Foundation in Boulder, says it's a mixed bag for fire conditions.
On the one hand, it'll make things even drier, it'll make things even more flammable and give us even greater propensity for any ignition to immediately become a more significant conflagration. But on the plus side, we will probably have less wind than we've had recently.
Swain says this heat event is unusual in its size and severity. It comes after other extreme heat events this year, driven by climate change, like a record warm March in the Colorado River Basin and a deadly heat dome in Europe this summer. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Basalt and Carbondale will be under a heat advisory this weekend and into next week. Glenwood Springs will be under an extreme heat warning. There are 5 large fires in Colorado right now. So far, they've burned more than 190,000 acres of land. The most concerning fire is the Aspen Acres fire near Pueblo, which is now one of the largest fires in Colorado's history. That's burned more than 96,000 acres and destroyed more than 275 homes and structures. It's only 15% contained. Meanwhile, the Ferris Fire in Dolores County, Gold Mountain Fire near Ouray, and the Willow Creek Fire near Leadville continue to burn, mostly on public lands. The Gold Mountain Fire is now more than 32,000 acres, and the Willow Fire is more than 4,000. The International Olympic Committee has decided to drop Nordic combined at the next Winter Olympic Games. As KUNC's Emma Vandenindy reports, it's a letdown for Steamboat Springs athletes that compete in the sport.
The IOC says the sport was the lowest in popularity for the last four Winter Olympics.
That is so disappointing.
Stephanie Wilson's daughter, Ella, competes in Nordic combined in Steamboat Springs.
It's waiting for the sports to bring to them what they want rather than being invested in making the sports work for the audience they want to draw in. It's chasing dollars.
Wilson and other supporters have been pushing for the sport, as well as the inclusion of women, for years. Colorado senators sent a formal letter to the IOC back in February advocating for the sport. Despite the decision, Wilson says athletes aren't done. They're still hard at work training for the upcoming World Ski Championships, and they're looking to create a Nordic combined ski league. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Emma Vandenindy in Denver.
In statewide news, Colorado Democrats put on a show of unity after a divisive primary election season. CPR's Caitlin Kim reports.
Democratic elected leaders, from Senator John Hickenlooper to candidates like Mayla Quiroz, stood together in a show of unity as they turned toward the general election this fall. The display comes after concerns that different political factions in the party have caused tension. But Senator Michael Bennett says different ideas are not a bad thing.
We've got a range of people that represent a huge spectrum of political thought in Colorado. I think that's great for the Democratic Party, and I think that's great for our democracy.
Republicans, however, have painted the messy primary season as a liability and have sought to portray the entire party as far left. Caitlin Kim, CPR News.
Birthright citizenship remains the law of the land, but Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser says seeing some Supreme Court justices vote against it has made him a stronger advocate for new rules governing the nation's highest court.
I absolutely think the Supreme Court, as it currently functions, is in need of reform. A particularly compelling reform would be a term limits, 18 years, for example, for Supreme Court justices.
Weiser was among the attorneys generals who sued the Trump administration over the order ending birthright citizenship. Mayla Quiroz won a historic primary to unseat incumbent Representative Diana DeGette. Denverite's Andrew Kinney dives into the data.
Just less than 40% of Denver's active voters turned out for the primary elections last week. That's a significant jump from the last couple cycles when enthusiasm for the primaries sagged here and elsewhere. And Denver saw higher participation than the rest of the state, possibly due to the intense race between Mayla Quiroz and Representative Diana DeGette. In the broader context, those numbers are nothing too crazy. They were on par with the 2018 midterms and far short of the record-breaking 2020 elections. But the biggest number was the final result. Quiroz, a Democratic Socialist, beat the incumbent by 13 percentage points, making Denver the latest success for the leftist movement. Quiroz will face Republican Christy Peterson in the general election. I'm Andrew Kenny, Denverite.
A federal appeals court has revived a Colorado voter intimidation lawsuit tied to the aftermath of the 2020 election. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Kyle McKinnon reports.
The lawsuit was filed by the League of Women Voters of Colorado, the state's NAACP chapter, and Mi Familia Vota. They argue that a group called the United States Election Integrity Plan intimidated voters after the 2020 election. The lawsuit says members went door to door to question Colorado voters, and some were armed. The group claims it was investigating election fraud. The Tenth Circuit says a lower court's decision to narrow the case was in error. It ruled that the United States Election Integrity Plan can be sued, even though it is not incorporated. The case now goes back to federal district court for a new trial.
That was Kyle McKinnon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team, News Director Hallie Zander, Associate Editor Sage Smiley, reporters Michael Finelli and Tana Weaver, and Mirror host Reagan Mertz. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.